Welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun.
Happy New Year. Are we still allowed Happy to say New that? Year.
Yeah. We're still in January.
Right? And it's our first episode back, so Happy New Year to all of our friends and listeners.
Yeah, hopefully your New Year has been going quite swell so far.
It's definitely how been busy. Doing? What? I'm sorry.
I said, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, it's been busy. The side, like, I've been through a war. No, I feel like I was traveling the first week of January, and it was a really nice break from reality. I was somewhere kind of sunny and warm, and then I, like, came back and just, like, you know. What's, like, the Sunday scaries, but on, like, a month-long level? Like, coming back to reality and just it being really, really jarring, I guess. But, yeah, the month has been good. It's currently snowing, so I'm all cozy in my house, and I have food, I have everything, so I'll probably just stay inside and read and chill and do whatever. So, yeah, can't complain right now. How has your January been, and how are you doing right now?
It's nice. I did some travel to a sunny location as well. And what else? Yeah, I don't know. Trying to remain positive. Trying to get my life together, per se. I'm entering my 29th year pretty soon here. So.
Well, I'm only 27, so that can't be right. Like,
I want to accomplish some cool things this year. Not that everything ends when I hit 30, but, you know, I'm entering the end of my 20s, like Nam June would say. And I want to reflect back on it nicely, so, yeah. Trying to remain positive.
I like the shirt. The listeners won't be able to see it, but it's JK in Hawaii, so. I just noticed it while you were talking, so I was like, A+, you're prepared for today. I am not. I'm in my Spy X Family hoodie that my brother got me.
It wasn't intentional. It was just at the top of my drawer. I'm like, well, it's Grubby JK Day. Might as well. But yeah, should we get right into our topic for the day?
Yeah, I think so, especially if we're gonna talk about all of it, you know.
Yes, we are discussing the BTS documentary that was released on Disney Plus at the end of December, and I believe it just wrapped up last week or so. 8 episodes, around 30 minutes long each. And what was it? Is it Beyond the Star?
Yeah, BTS Monuments, Beyond the Star.
Okay. So, where do we begin?
Should we start at the very beginning, all the way back at episode 1?
Sure. Now, I did not take any notes. I had the bright idea that I could binge watch this last night in preparation for this episode. Yeah, it didn't happen.
That's honestly,
the week did not go the way I thought it was going to go. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna binge watch this the night before. Yeah, 4 hours worth of content. And my attention span is not what it used to be, thanks to, you know, cell phones and TikTok and whatnot. So I had to finish the rest of it this morning. So, like, I pretty much remember most of it for the most part, so I hope I can just freestyle this.
Well, that's really funny because I started watching it kind of, I think they were releasing 2 a week, so I was watching it gradually, and I was like, let me take notes, and then, like, I got to, I think, episode 6, and I was like, no, I'm just gonna binge this, but, like, now I'm looking back at my notes, and I'm like, what in the world was I talking about? So, hopefully between some of my notes and, like, your freshly watched memory, we can like pull something together here that's not like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
So I think like kicking off episode one, and episode one was titled The Beginning, as one might assume. So thank you Big Hit and Disney for that. I was surprised at like how much they still have in the vault. Like, there was stuff here I hadn't seen before, even from like debut era. So I was like, their vaults are like deeper than I could have even imagined.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was new content or was that things from Bangtan Bombs?
There were definitely some things from Bangtan Bombs, and there were some things I think from like other, like, I don't know, behind the scenes or like not Winter Package, what was the other one? Season's Greeting. Like, I think there was some like behind the scene footage we've seen before, but I think some of it was new, or I just have really selective memories, so everyone feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but there was definitely some stuff that was fresh to me.
I don't know. Some of it I thought was like, is this new? I feel like I've seen this before. But then I also thought that, okay, I don't know if I'm just remembering it incorrectly, but it felt like, you know, watching those Bangtan Bombs, the footage was in like 144p.
Right.
So I'm like, why is it like super HD now? Like, is it just like you're able to do like post-editing, like rendering of the content to make it like 4K? I don't know. So, but I'm like, some of those scenes, like they were showing Hobi like crying on his birthday. I remember that Bangtan Bomb pretty like distinctly. So I'm like, is it a mix of content or are they just like using old footage that we've kind of seen before but making it look better?
Maybe, but if so, I thank them for their efforts, because some of it I was like, oh, like so.
Yeah,
there was stuff I remembered too, but like maybe not, like I remembered where it was or when it was in general, but I didn't remember like that specific comment. So I don't know if it was the framing or maybe like a different cut of the same video, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that
but
could be it too.
Anyway, Hybe, number one gaslighters, like, can convince me I've seen or not seen anything before, so. Yeah, I just have, like, some kind of, like, stream of consciousness and notes. I think the thing that pissed me off, I'll just jump right in. You're like, I'm trying to be positive in 2024. I'm like, I'm on my same stuff. Like, I'm still. No, but, no, pretty early on, Bong PD, they're talking about, like, the formation of the group and the origins of the group, and that's kind of, like, the theme of the episode. But right off the bat, Bong PD is talking about, like, Jimin and how, like, he wasn't really, like, sure about Jimin, and if it was up to him, like, Jimin wouldn't have been in the group, and, like, he really had to take the impressions of the staff. And I am, like, outside Hybe with a truck, a pitchfork, like, a bale of hay on fire, because, like, why is he still talking about this years later? Like, you can have your impressions, but I feel like there's some things you just, like, don't say, or things you put to bed, like, put it to rest. Like, Jimin has been in this group for, like, 10 plus years at this point. Like, I guess, like, on the one hand, I'm like, okay, Bong PD, like, what was your reservation? But on this, at the same time, I'm like, can you stop? Because, like, I feel like Jimin is such, like, a, I mean, they all are, I guess, but, like, and maybe I'm biased because he was, like, my introduction to Bangtan, but I feel like Jimin brings in so many people who, like, later become ARMY, and I'm just, like, confused to this day, like, why Bong PD is talking about this or so, like, resistant. Like, if I were Jimin, I'd be like, not this story again, like, the story your uncle will not, like, chill at, like, the holiday dinner, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I can see that.
Anyway,
yeah, he even shared his reservations about JK as well, and him, like, lacking confidence in himself.
Like, dude was 13, but 14.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it just goes to show that Bong PD's intuition isn't always, like, super correct, right? And at least he's open to criticism or others' opinions, that he wasn't completely, like, nah, not including him. You know, like, thankful that we have Jimin here today. Because if they had listened to him, Jimin wouldn't be in the group.
Yeah. I was talking to someone else about this at a cup sleeve that I went to recently. It was for Jin and Tay. It was like a belated birthday one that just happened recently. And she shared with me some footage that I had not seen before. I'm not even sure where it's from, but it's like Namjoon talking to those two specific staff that like went to bat for Jimin. And Namjoon's like, yeah, without them, BTS would not exist in this form. And they're like super emotional in the footage. So whatever they felt super strongly.
She showed you footage of that.
From something. I don't know where it's from.
Huh.
But
interesting.
Like just send it via Instagram so it's out there. I can send it to you and or link it in the episode description. But it was just like an Instagram reel.
Hmm. Interesting.
Let's see. I was kind of confused. I feel like this show was kind of a companion to the book that we read because they kept interviewing the author of the book, right? And he does a lot of their like Weverse articles and stuff as well. But it's interesting because in the show they again say that RM was the first to sign, which kind of flies in the face of like Hobie. So I'm just curious, like, I don't know the detail there, or like, what's, was RM the first to the dorm? Was like the group built around him and they had Hobie like at Big Hit or Hybe separately? You know what I mean? Like, I'm still just super confused about the timeline, I guess.
Yeah, it is confusing. Yeah, when I saw him, I was like, oh, this is the person I have mild beef with.
the author of the book. I thought you meant RM. Yes. I was like, what?
No.
For a second, I was like, what? Yeah.
No. The author. But yeah. We'll move on. I'm not rehashing 2023. Anyway, yeah, what is it? Obi's the first to be signed to Big Hit, but he's like not there yet, so
yeah,
like, I don't know how that works.
According to the book, the book says that Hobie was the first one to sign, but he trained remotely, I think, for like two years in Gwangju.
Yeah. Maybe it is what you said, you know, they didn't really have an idea of what to do with him until like,
Namjoon
comes around.
He's signed to he's Big like, Hit, but he's technically not part of BTS yet.
Right.
Yeah. That's the best I can piece together based on these, like, competing tales that we get.
Yeah.
Yeah, my notes are kind of, like, stream of consciousness. Like, I have, like, Yoongi talking about a dark side. I'm also simping about Namjoon and glasses because all it says is Namjoon glasses. Hobie's saying he loves them even back then, like the other group members. Because I know you and I have talked about like watching Bon Voyage and some of the early clips and how they were in the trenches together. Like it took a while for that relationship to grow. So, but Hobie at least is saying that even back then, you know, he loves his members. They go to JK's, I think, middle school graduation, and they're, like, filming him, and my notes just say all the girls are shook at JK, even back then. Like, the people blatantly staring at him. But, like, also, they are filming him, so, I mean, could be distracting. I have Jimin says, you can cry in my arms, and they take him up on that. I don't remember what that was. Best new artist, 2023 best new artist 2013, Yoongi from the balcony lol, and then comparisons between other groups and them. I think this was part of a larger discussion, maybe it was Hobie or Namjoon, but just like what differentiates them from other groups, and like they've always worked hard and they don't have a change in attitude, so I found that like refreshing, but also like it's interesting that even they're pondering like why are we having this kind of level of success, or like what made us different. And I think at one point, not in this episode, I think Namjoon's like nothing really specific other than like I think he's a cultural competency or cultural something like that. So anyway, those are my notes. I don't know if that jars anything from your brain or anything for episode one.
I think the dark side comment Bonk PD made, something about him being like intrigued by Suga, that he had some like dark side, but he said some other positive comment related to him about that, if I recall correctly.
It's just interesting, and maybe this is why I flagged it, but like he had this whole like cold persona that has like even persisted to when like I was joining the fandom in 2016, and I feel like that doesn't exist in the same way now, or that like persona has completely changed, because now I would say like the little meow meow narrative is far more present everywhere. Sorry to trigger you first thing in the morning, but like it's just interesting how Bong PD flagged that, I guess. Like, I want him... this is the same critique I had of the book, and, like, I can't really complain because they give us this whole show, but I'm like, all right, can you, like, expand upon that? Can you give me a bit more? But maybe that's a me problem.
Yeah. I mean, I might be a little, like, cynical or dark, too, if I was, like, working my ass off to afford to be there, like, part-time jobbing to afford to be in this group. And now my shoulder's broken, or, like, just not right like it should be, because I gotta... Like, there's just so many reasons why he could have been like that. Also, he talked a lot about him being, like, super competitive, and the, like, idol process is just inherently competitive. And so, like, I don't know. I can understand why he may have come off a little bit, like, darker brooding to others, maybe. But like, we know he's a nice guy.
It's funny too, it's interesting because, well, this is another case of like maybe narratives not lining up or not being completely clear, but I remember, I don't remember if it was in the book or if it was in the research we're doing for the member episodes, but I was like looking a little bit into Yoongi's background, and they were like, you know, he came second in this rap battle at the audition, you know, but they still signed him. But he was just on Sujita this week being like, I already had a contract before I came in second in the rap battle. So I'm like, all right, like, I don't know. Just like, again, I'm always confused on the timeline, but it's all good. I guess that's my birthright as an army.
Yeah. Seeing them win that rookie award, yeah, it was just reminding me again, I think we talked about this like on the last episode or one of the episodes we did last year, like they definitely had their rough moments, but they weren't like incredibly like down bad the entire time. Like,
right.
They were getting like some recognition. But I think the point they were making was that it didn't, like, change much for them.
Yeah.
That despite getting that award, there were some times where they still had a hard time with album sales or their perception in the media and whatnot.
Yeah, it is very interesting because this was present in the book as well, but they kind of follow this narrative here about, like, they have these, like, moments of highs and then, like, these moments of lows. And it's kind of this, like, cycle that just keeps, like, repeating. At least that's how kind of the book was framed. And I feel like that was present here as well.
Yeah. I think it was in this episode, but they also brought up how Bong PD's intentions for them was for them to be a crew. Like, a hip-hop crew, and we know that. And that them changing to like an idol group was the reason why they're as successful today. And it, I often think about where they would be if they were still a crew. Like, could they have had some success, but maybe not like, you know, the BTS level astronomical success that they've had, right? Could they have been something like similar to, I don't know, like an AOMG or I don't know, name any other like hip hop, Korean hip hop crew that's like out right now where they're like, yeah, like they're doing well, but and there's some of them that are known, but maybe there's some that are more known than others. Like, you know, maybe Namjoon would have been like a Jit part.
I was like, I know like, she's not gonna make this comparison right now, and then you did.
Like maybe
you're really doing then, it. You're doing it. Aren't
you know, you get to others that are like somewhat successful, but then we wouldn't have had the other members of the group that were not rappers, I'm assuming. I mean, I guess some of these hip-hop groups do have, like, R&B singers and stuff like that in it, but I don't know. I just often think, like, well, what if this didn't happen?
Yeah.
They bring up later them winning, or how hard it was for them to win their first award. And I'm like, there's, like, K-pop groups that, like, never win a music show. They never win a music show, right?
Yeah.
And they still get funding, which, I mean, there's a lot to that. But there's some groups out there that, like, never win, you know, an award and don't get, like, any level of fame. Like, I don't know, like, what would have happened if they didn't win that award or... Yeah, I just think about all the what ifs.
It's funny because
all the like multiverse bombed out options we could have.
No, you're so right, and you really do need like every member. Like it's just one of those like I don't know, like not to quote Jimin, but just like one of those serendipitous things. Because like I'm always on my soapbox, like without the rap line, you don't have BTS and like all the songwriting credits and stuff, and that's true. But also like without the vocal line, you also don't have BTS. You have this like. You know, like hip-hop crew. And I was thinking about this when you were talking about like the crew format. I feel like in my head that feels a lot less organized or a lot like looser, like a collective or a collaborative versus like a cohesive idol group. Like they're in this stuff for better or for worse, you know. So
yeah.
I have a lot more notes on episode 2. Maybe I'll run through them. Well, here's a general question before I do that, kind of about the show as a whole. Someone was saying this to me, and I kind of agree, like, is the show really geared towards like a casual fan? Because I feel like it's not. I feel like if this was your first jumping off point, you would be like, there's so much information here. Like, do you think it's, I guess it's hard for us to say because we're we're down bad, we're in deep, you know, but like, was this built for like armies or was this built for like the general public?
I'd say it's geared more towards armies. Cause I think we're able to fill in the gaps more so than a, general viewer would be able to do so.
Right.
I imagine someone that's like just recently may have gotten into BTS within the last year might have a difficult time understanding like the depth of some of the things they discussed as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I don't think it would be, like, a bad watch if someone was, like, very new, but I think there would just be a lot that you wouldn't maybe pick up on at the risk of sounding super pretentious. Like, I might not recommend this as, like, a first point of contact, you know?
You'd have to do, like, a serious, like, breakdown to BTS. I'm talking, like, like, you need an army historian, like. Where are the army stories? Yeah, we need like the hour-long 8-episode documentary series. Like it's not enough to like really dig into it. You need like multiple perspectives. Yeah, you need like way more people involved.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like my baby army experience was very like It was a lot, but it was very, like, hodgepodge. And, like, I don't even really know how it happened, to be honest with you. Like, I don't remember specific steps I took. But, like, when I think about people becoming ARMY now, I'm just, like, I'm itching my face. Because I'm just, like, I don't even know how, like, yeah, where would you begin now in 2024? Like,
yeah.
But anyway. Okay, so episode 2, this is where we start to jump to, so they talk about, like, winning MNET, their final, they viewed it as, like, their final chance, but then, like, in episode 2, we're already at the BBMAs, I flagged this as kind of BS that the author of the book is talking about, but the way he's speaking about International ARMY, he's kind of making it sound like there were no international fans before 2017. So that was upsetting to me in this episode. Jin is saying how, like, the fans made the difference for them in the US. Oh, this is where they make the culturally proficient point. Like, he's saying Yoongi was nervous and talking about dreams and, like, they didn't even know how big they could dream. And they were like, I think it was Namjoon being like, would people have liked us, like, more or less if we were more culturally proficient? I thought that was funny. They're meeting, like, all these Western celebs at, I think it was was it BBMAs for Top Social Artist? But Yoongi's in the bathroom, and I'm having more flashbacks because I remember all their tweets about, like, where's Yoongi, you know, and he's in the bathroom missing all these celebrity meets. I just remembered voting so, I'll say, darn much for that Top Social Artist award. But I felt like their meeting with Steve Aoki was a little awkward, if I'm being honest. They also met, Khalid. ARMY were, like, so loud at AMAs. I forgot about that. Let's see. My other notes are Jimin intervening over lost champagne, which is very on brand for him. I forget who was trying to open the bottle of champagne. He's like, all right. That's enough. Bang PD says something about there aren't happy endings. I was also like, dang, Bang PD, you okay? The members talk about not having anyone to talk to and, like, the psychological pressure. Jin saying he doesn't know, like, how to deal with it. Jin talks about burnout. They talk about, like, taking a rest for 6 months, but no one wanted to be the one to walk away. And my takeaway from this episode, this is my own perspective based off the comments they were making in the episode. I'm putting, like, 40,000 disclaimers on this. But to me, it seems like Suga, Tae, Jin, and RM were maybe the ones that were, like, ready to possibly walk away. But I was texting you in our group chat, kind of, like, talking about later episodes and being stressed. And I think you said something to the effect of, like, these guys have been talking about, like, breaking up every year since, like, 2018. And so, yeah, I mean, this is end of 2017, early 2018, and they're already, like, how do we walk away from this? This is, like, episode 2 of this show, and I'm just like, this is top-tier emotional damage. Like, don't do this to me. So, anyway, those are my notes for Ep 2. I don't know if you remember other things or that jarred anything for you.
Oh, you might have to run through them again, but yeah, I do find the comments from the author kind of interesting, considering that their first music show win, correct me if I'm wrong, but was on a platform where the international fans could actually vote. Like, you could vote much easier than the process was if you were voting on, like, Inkigayo or or one of the other ones where you, like, you know, it was like a time where Korean ARMY would have to help you, or fans that knew Korean would have to help you in order to, like, make accounts, and, like, you had to have, like, a Korean phone number, or, like, all this other BS, right, in order to vote. Whereas I believe that first music show they won was, like, geared towards international fans as well, and you could vote for it. And I remember that because I was, like, there. So back I just find day. That. Exactly. Also, like, yeah. I remember that, like, clear as day, that first win. So I don't I don't understand that perception of making it seem like international fans just, like, showed up out of nowhere one day, or that, like, they weren't there since day one. I think the industry in general was underestimating the potential of international fans for a long time. I mean, I can kind of see how you could do that, considering that other companies had tried to put their artists into the international, or maybe more so the Western sphere, for a long time, and it didn't stick really until BTS. But to make it seem like international fans weren't there, it's just kind of weird. And it's even funnier today, because you have some groups where, like, they literally only have international fans. Like, they don't have that many fans in Korea. And yet, the companies will still try to, like, gear the artists towards the Korean fans more than international fans. Like, they will do their international fans dirty, or, like, just don't acknowledge them. And it's like, whatever. That's another rant for another day.
Yeah.
Maybe another podcast. But anyway, the point is, like, International ARMY have been there from day one, right? Yeah, that's odd. There was something else you said. Can you go through your notes again?
Yeah. Winning Mnet Final Chance or Road, BBMA is acting like there are no International ARMY. Jin saying fans made a difference in how they were received.
I think in this episode, they bring up, or they show them winning Artist of the Year, right?
Yes.
Like their first day song?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Yoongi made some comment of, like, he made a comment that stuck with me, that it was essentially something along the lines of, like, us winning that Artist of the Year award should have been, like, the end credits of the movie, right? But then, like, the next minute they were telling us, like, go to America. And I always think about how, like, they did not plan, or not that they didn't want it, but they didn't plan for any of this. Like, none of this, like, registered in their mind that they could do anything, like, after winning that MMA, which I think it was an MMA for the first day song. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think it was JK in a later episode, but he said something about, like, so you think you're, like, I forget his exact words. But he was like, you think you're, like, aiming for the moon or something, but then you're just, like, untethered floating through space after you get there. Or, like, it was some, like, you know, like...
Yeah, I think that was Tay brought up that comment of them, like, being in an air balloon and, like, wanting to see, like, all the sights, but then somehow you wind up in space.
Yeah.
And it's, like, all this darkness or whatever. And I thought that was a great analogy. Because, like, yeah, what do? Like, okay, maybe the stars and whatnot is nice up here, but you're like, it's cold and it's dark and I don't know where I'm going and what I'm doing and I'm alone. Like,
Mom, come get me. I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They were like, we didn't even know what a Tupsal Shortest word was.
Yeah, who said that? That was so funny.
I think that was Yuki.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what this award is for, but thanks. Like,
yeah. It's like, what do you do with all of this, like, newfound fame? Fame you couldn't even, like, dream of, right? Yeah, I can see that, why that was incredibly hard, and why from, like, late 2017, they were like, all right, what are we doing here? I don't know if I can keep doing this.
I think there were some, like, opaque references here. I think it was in this episode where Bong PD talks about, like, an attitude adjustment, or, like, wanting to keep the members kind of, like, grounded, and, like, maybe this was when they first had to start dealing with that, like, a bit more. But, like, in a celebrity lifestyle, you can basically become, I don't want to say, like, immune to everything, but kind of, like, desensitized. Was it this episode? It was only a couple short comments. They didn't really dive into it, but I was wondering, like, this might have been when they rented that house, presumably in LA, but they're, like, eating barbecue by the poolside. It was somewhere around that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can get their fears of like, okay, well, if we stop now, what happens? Does that derail everything? But like, I guess I go back and forth with that because I'm like, US artists do not care. They will like leave for like 2 years and like still have the same level of fame or more when they come back. But I guess the K-pop model is kind of different, especially when you have like hundreds of groups debuting each year, right? If you stop, that could mean like the potential end of your career. And if you think about it, in like 2017, they were like really just getting started. So yeah, I understand them not wanting to stop, but watching the pace at which what they were going, it seemed like unhealthy. So it was like, okay, at what point do we actually like slow down and take a break here?
Was it this episode or the next? I think it was the next one in episode 3. Just looking at my notes, but they were talking about their like life on tour and like it's somehow both like very intense and very physical because you're like performing or practicing a lot of the time, but then it's also like very boring and they started to be in a place where they can't like roam around freely and stuff, which they've talked about before, you know, and so it's just like incredibly like tedious, I guess.
Can you go back through the latter half of your notes for episode two?
Yeah,
See if I.
Yoongi in the bathroom, cultural proficiency, meeting Steve Aoki and Khalid, AMA so loud, Jimin, Champagne, Bang PD saying there aren't happy endings, psychological pressure and burnout that Jin is talking about. They were gonna rest for 6 months and no one wanted to be the one to like walk away. And it was my own observation based on comments being made that it seemed like Suga, Tae, Jin, and RM were maybe the ones most considering walking away, from my own opinion.
I think I had only like superficial thoughts when watching it. God, you said something about Steve Aoki and it.
I thought their meeting with him was awkward, honestly. That's what I said. Like I think he ended up being a great advocate for them and like I think the relationship's
Yeah.
genuine. Like I'm not criticizing the relationship overall. I was just getting really awkward vibes from the intro.
Yeah. I imagine they were probably awkward with a lot of people as well. It probably was just like an awkward feeling with most people, like, okay, are you actually like wanting to chat with me because you actually are like interested in me? I don't know.
Or because my
Like
fans are
language
screaming so loud
barriers?
outside, they're trying
Yeah,
to
I don't
like
know. There's
mute
just like
them.
could be so many
Yeah.
things why like this meeting is like kind of awkward.
Well, even
Because we know.
like, I think it was Yoongi's documentary. He met Anderson .Paak, right? And he was like, "Oh, you're 29. You're a grown man. You're not like a kid." Like, I can't
Exactly.
believe. I bet they get comments like that like more often than you would think, right?
Yeah.
Like
I was
people
trying to
saying
figure
weird
out
stuff.
why DC Young Fly, Busta Rhymes, and Steve Aoki were on a couch together. That's what I was I was thinking at that. What is this for? I don't know. I'm missing something. Maybe they were like some of them were hosting. I don't know. I was like, what is this setup?
You heard it here first, if there's ever a
Also, I was
collab.
thinking like I was also thinking like a Busta Rhymes like RM collab will like really eat. But anyway, that's not. Also, would have appreciated a Khalid collab with one of them.
Right.
I don't care who it was. That would have been cool. But anyway,
For some reason in my head, I'm like Tay and Khalid, like make it happen.
I just, yeah, it would have been cool.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something else I wanted to say, but I can't think of anything, so let's just move on to
Yeah.
episode three.
If it comes back to you, just say it. Episode 3, my notes are getting a little shorter. I feel like in this whole series, Tay was being super relatable. I don't know, maybe it's like the INFP in me acknowledges the INFP in him. I have no idea, but sometimes I'm like, what's this guy thinking about? But in this series, I was like, all right, Tay, hard agree. He talks about, like, trip planning as stress relief with the members and how they often want to, like, take trips together to, like, reconnect. And that's their way of, like, smoothing things over. There was just a John Cena reference that I flagged. I think there was on Good Morning America, possibly. I don't know. That was another thing where they're like, so John Cena's a fan. And they're like, yeah, John Cena. And they're like, oh, he's a fan. <You know>? So anyway, that was funny. I forget who, but someone was talking about their, like, sincerity. Like, what, again, kind of, like, what about us, like, resonates with people. This is the Virgo in me showing, but the subtitles were wrong in episode 3. They literally called the UN headquarters Oakland Arena, and I was like, like, that is the UN headquarters. I literally ran it back to double check because I was like, yeah, I get confused, but there's no way in hell, like, that's the UN headquarters in New York City. They talk about, again, like, maybe their timing was good. Like, was it a time when, like, unity was needed around the world? And then this is where I have in my notes, I think they were talking about their tour lifestyle, because they say it's very organized but very boring. There's nothing satisfying about it. And then they literally interspersed, like, footage of people chasing them. Like, and so it's just kind of like, okay, so it's boring, it's tedious, and you have people chasing you. Like, I don't know. Personally, I kind of like staying in hotels because I'm like, everything's clean and fresh and, like, it's so luxurious. But I can see how, like, clearly I haven't stayed in enough hotels where it gets, like, old fast. But, like, Jin with his gaming setup, I'd probably just, like, bring a book or, like, I don't know, watch shows. I'm kind of lazy in my off time as well, so.
I can see how it would get boring really quickly. Like, you cannot leave, right? Like, usually when you go to a hotel, you are able to leave.
That's, like, a good point, too. Like, I'm there just for a short period. I'm not, like, stuck in there.
Right. So I do feel bad for them watching that, like, their every move is being watched. That they cannot leave. That had to be really horrible. And some hotels, well, I hope they were in better hotels the more money they made.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some hotels, like, just aren't as nice. Right? Like, not a budget hotel, but you just get the hotel that's just, like, not as nice. And you're like, this hotel could be better. There's somebody next door that's, like, watching the Avengers on, like, you know, volume 50. 100. And you can just, like, hear everything. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. People that are, like, stomping. Like, I don't know. There's just so many things about hotels that I can see where you'd be like, I need to get out of here. Right? And then you're confined to that space.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, some weird painting of a flower, but, like, not really.
Yeah. And, like, after a while, like, I can see how the reading of the books would get boring, or, like, the playing of the video games would get boring. Like, I need something different. This is when I was thinking that, like, it's interesting that they hate the process of, like, getting there, but they do love performing so much that they're like, what am I gonna do if I'm not performing, like, when they reach the pandemic point.
Yeah.
Of the documentary, they're like, who am I if I'm not a performer? And it was just like, you just said all the stuff about that you hate about the process, like, getting there. Like, I hate being on the plane. Like, I hate, like, being stuck in the hotel room, but they, like, love being on the stage that much.
Yeah, I think it was episode 4 that the pandemic footage started. My notes say episode 4 pandemic, Jimin super pissed off. I think he's the one that was, like, most, I could be wrong, but just based on his comments, like, the most dependent on the performance aspect. And then they start to talk about, like, working on Dynamite and the importance of, like, all the live stream concerts that were happening right then. And it was so interesting because you can see kind of their ambivalence about, like, live stream concerts. Like, they were happy to have something to work on and, like, happy to have something to show ARMY. And I remember all of, like, trying to pipe in people's voices, not pipe literally, but, like, you know, cast in people's voices and, like show ARMY to them. But it's funny because, like, from an ARMY perspective, like, I really loved those online concerts, like, especially when we were trapped inside. Like, it was really something to look forward to, like, Bamankan the Live. Like, I think they were really focused mostly on the Map of the Soul on, like, one online concert. But, like, I was so grateful for that, but they weren't necessarily getting the same energy out of those performances that, like, we were getting from them. So, like, it is kind of, I guess to tie it back to your prior point, it's kind of like a mixed bag, because, like, the in-person concerts, like, you have all the BS of the travel, like, being chased through airports, like, being stuck in the hotel, but then you have that, like, real moment of performance with, like, ARMY yelling and, like, cheering and, like, whatever, that they get a lot of energy from, versus the online concerts that are maybe, like, less travel heavy, but also, like, less reward for the members. Like, I can see how that was quite draining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who's being drained? Like, if we go to a concert, we're standing all day. I'm dead when I get home. You know, like.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it just goes to show how much an artist in general really needs, like, the fans there in order to, like, give them that strength to keep going through the performance. I don't know if it was in this episode or one of the later ones, but Namjoon was talking about, like, On and, like, them bringing the pain on to get through, like, whatever it is that they're going through, and, like, the pain that it took, the pain that it takes for them to be on stage. Like, they were, like, all, like, beaten up and, like, broken at one point. I think, like, Namjoon and Jimin are, like, getting, like, wrapped up. I was like, okay, yeah, we went through, like, a lot of, like, injuries and stuff, like, through all of these shows and stuff, and still they're like, this is my favorite part of doing this. So yeah, I just found that interesting, like, kind of like what you were saying about the hotels or whatever, like, this should be, like, the least, like, taxing aspect of your artistry. You sitting in the hotel room, you, like, going to sleep on the plane, but, like, that's the part you hate the most. But the part that's, like, literally, like, physically harming physically you taxing, the most. Yeah.
Like, bro, you broke your foot, your hand is broken.
Exactly.
Take it easy.
They're, like, incredibly down bad on stage, but they're like, I love it here.
I think your finger is broken. Please calm down.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows how much they love the craft.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do get the vibe, I guess, talking about, I mean, again, this was a theme kind of throughout the show where I'm like, I am sustaining emotional damage right now. But they were talking about, like, On and Map of the Soul 7, and just kind of, like, they planned this huge tour, and, like, I think Yoongi said something like, that was it, I was gonna enlist in November 2020, but, like, the way he said it made it sound like that was it for Bangtan, and it was gonna be, like, over at that point, and I feel like we've had references to that before, and maybe I'm just conveniently, like, no, I'm gonna block that out, like, but I just, like, I don't know, for a long time I was really bitter about the pandemic, because we were gonna go see, like, the Map of the Soul tour in DC, like, at a time when, like, we were both living fully in DC, and, like, we weren't gonna have to travel, and, like, this is our moment, like, we had sound check with our whole squad, like, I'm still bitter about it, honestly, but, like, I guess in some way, and I don't want this to be, like, misconstrued on the internet, but, like, I am grateful for the silver lining that at least the pandemic, like, got us more time with BTS. I'm not grateful for the pandemic, like, huge human toll, but, like, if there's any silver lining, it's that we get more time with BTS.
No, I feel you. Sometimes I feel guilty for enjoying any moments of the pandemic, considering that, like, millions of people died. But I get what you mean. He made that comment about their plans. Their plans for enlistment. I want to say it was in, like, the 6th or 7th episode, because I definitely, like, was like, hold up. Like, I had to, like, pause and, like, sit up. Like, I think I was kind of just, like, mindlessly watching for a little bit, and I was like, screw it. I had to, like, rewind it back. Like, no, what did you just say? But yeah, I don't know if I ever heard him specifically, or any of them, say that before. At least I don't recall. like, those exact plans that it was, like, we were gonna do this tour, it was gonna end in, like, November 2020, and I was gonna enlist. I was like, screw, like,
cut the tapes, like, exactly.
Yeah. And I think Bong PD was talking about them, like, having some huge, like, gala or whatever for them as well. Like, they had all these, like, fantastical plans for, like, what was gonna happen with Monster.
When you think about it, though, it makes total sense because they did that, like, Connect BTS book. They did all those, like, art installations around the world. There was all this talk about, like, turning cities purple, which, like, did kind of eventually come to pass, right, with some of the later ones. But, like making it almost like a festival atmosphere. Like, they were going to, if they were going to go out, they were going to go out with a bang, you know, no pun intended.
Right. Did anybody go to that Connect BTS? Didn't they start the documentary off with them showing the Connect BTS stuff? I'm like, did anybody make it to this? Like, how long was that Connect BTS thing out?
This is, like, my mini village. This is my mini villain origin story, is that I had tickets to go see that sculpture in New York.
Right.
And I had bus tickets, and they're just floating out there somewhere in the ether. I never got, like, reimbursed and didn't, like... try to seek it, but I think, like, some of it was just outside, so I'm sure someone got at least to the New York one if they, like, lived in, I think it was in Brooklyn somewhere, but I don't know. Think the London, and I think there was one in Germany, but I think they were, like, inside museums, so I wonder if people got to those. Like, did they even all open? I don't remember. Right.
That time between, like, January to March of 2020 is just, like, what happened?
Fever dream. Blacked out. No idea what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This documentary was just, like, reminding me. Watching them get that news of, like, they couldn't hold the Seoul concert was, like, devastating.
Yeah. And that the tour itself was canceled. Like, Jimin was genuinely pissed. You could tell he was trying not to be, but...
Well, I was wondering, because it sounded like... I don't know if I missed something... They said the Seoul show was canceled. Did they think that, like, potentially they could have gone on the others?
Took it as the whole tour, but I could have been projecting, so.
Because I'm like, was it just, like, a series of disappointments? I cannot remember that time. Like, was it, like, Seoul show was canceled, then it was, like, all right, U.S. show was canceled, then it was, like, we're not putting out the tickets for Europe. I feel like it was consecutive like that.
I think you're right, because... I have a whole series of, like, Bangtan-related stories saved on my Instagram, and I posted some meme about, like, call that the Bangtan stimulus or whatever, when they finally, like, canceled the concert and we got our money back. But it was, like, much later. It was, like, I don't know, like, 2021, or, you know, like, it had been postponed and postponed and postponed, and then they're finally, like, it's done.
I'll at least give HYBE credit for being innovative during that time. I can't recall of seeing any other artist. No. I know other artists did do this, but I can't recall, like... did Western artists do the, like, digital online concert thing? Like, early on? I feel like, BTS literally, like, the first ones to start that?
I feel like they've been really active in the, like... concert as a movie experience as well. I know other artists have done that even in the West, but I feel like they really capitalized on that aspect heavily as well. Like, definitely leading the way in, like, home streams or, like, simultaneous live streams.
Yeah.
But they also leaned heavily into, like, the movie theater thing when things were, like, a little better, but travel was still limited.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, this is something you can only do when you have, like, the budget for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That also had to be, like, some risk there, because, okay, you put all this money into, like, putting on a concert that people literally are not showing up to, and you're just, like, fully riding on them buying an online ticket and, like, even wanting to have that experience. And you can't charge as much as you would have if they were in person.
Yeah. And they did build, like, really elaborate sets.
Yeah, like it was a full-on like production. Yeah. It wasn't just like we're showing up and singing. Like, no, it was like the same thing you would have got if you were in person. Like, yeah. What were the finances like? Now I'm just being nosy.
I remember being annoyed because like we used to be able to like share logins at least between like two people, right? And then they were like, no, but they probably have to like recoup that money somehow. Like all those memes about streamers going to jail or whatever. Like,
yeah, I'm like, in retrospect, I can see why they were like being super annoying about that.
Yeah.
Like, no, we need this money. I'm like, I want to see the books. Like, because how did they do all that?
File that one away under like things we'll never get to like know about for real, but it would be exactly. Nice. Yeah. I bet we could see probably from one of their town halls like what those concerts brought in aggregate, but probably not revenue by concert by concert. But anyway.
And that's probably also why they were going so hard with the advertisements, right?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. Because especially BangBangCon, the live was free. Anyone could stream it. That was like a morale booster. Right? Because I remember they had it, like, interspersed with, like, genuine ads for, like, Chilsung Cider or something. Like,
I wonder if they made money off of that, like, via YouTube, though.
Yeah, that could be as well.
Like, YouTube creator kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, whatever ads they would have run.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even on BangBangCon The Live, they had that thing with the Samsung phones. Like, that portion... Yeah. Where like everyone had like a hand phone and everyone had a cell phone and like, you know, was recording from their own angle simultaneously.
Right.
So. Well, at least, you know, I've been studying my Korean because we don't really say hand phone in English. So practicing. Well, it's like the language reverse where you like take a word that's been borrowed from your own language and like change, but then you bring it back. Like. Anyway.
Yeah, there was the moment where they revealed the concert info that they were canceling the Seoul concert. I'm like, oh, this is supposed to be a sad moment right now. But I was like looking over at Namjoon and I was like, God dang, that made us
dang.
On Arrow was exquisite.
There were a few times they showed him where I was like, we joke about Beefy June, but, like, that was Beefy June era. Like, specifically gym trainer Namjoon, like, blue hair dynamite era. The LA concert.
That was, like, even more Permission to Dance, like, era specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. This had to be also when people were bullying him about his weight. Because then this is when he starts, like, drastically like losing weight and like working out afterwards, right?
This is where like I am feral and want to fight someone. Like, I will defend his honor at all costs. Like, catch me outside. Oh, how about that? Like, seriously.
Because I think even when Yoongi was talking about like Mott's and like their plans for it and yeah I was gonna enlist, they're like showing a montage of like JK like running around with his boobs out like shirtless and I was like, this is supposed to be serious right now, like I can't. Like, why are you showing this at this moment? I'm trying to focus.
You're like, respectfully, I am not listening right now.
Exactly. They're like, oh, don't be too sad. I'm like, no.
I saw that, like, gif, whatever. I saw it, like, hit the internet, and I was like, now where is this from? And then I was like, girl, you know where it's from. Like, you know. You totally know. Like, so then I was like, oh, I guess I have to watch some more episodes today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, Permission to Dance, LA Yoongi, but like ginger hair Yoongi, he had that after, not like the first night, but I think it was like night two. Right? Yeah. But anyway, yeah. My bias, the Permission to Dance era was like Julie's bias's attempt to unalive her era. Like, and like also Hobi in those glasses, I'm like, only Hobi can rock the MAGA dad glasses. Like, he's the only one on the planet. Like, truly, truly. I don't want to see anyone else wearing those sunglasses.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'm like, the pandemic didn't, like, okay, it slowed us down, but not as much as it slowed them down. And to live life with that much, like, uncertainty, like, all right, we're gonna, like, have a concert not in person, you know, Bong Bong Con, Mont One, whatever. Okay, like, maybe we can do a concert in LA. Okay, maybe we can do it. I just feel like there was just so many, like, what ifs, or let's just try this going on during that time period, that I can see why they were so, like, anxious, depressed. Was that the sixth or the... I can't remember which episode it was. I think I'm jumping ahead.
I think episode four was, like, pandemic era, Dynamite era, doing all of the virtual performances. Episode five, they're in SoFi, and so that's where I took less notes. All it says is SoFi, LA, and Ginger Yoongi. Those are my notes for episode five, because I was just, like, reliving, like, our experience at SoFi, and just, like... I was just feeling, like, so grateful that we were able to go, and, like, in retrospect, like, yeah, as you were saying, things were still so uncertain. I remember us, like, timing when we were going to get our vaccines and, like, you know, just figuring it out. Yeah, so anyway, I think that was episode five, was their prep for that. I think episode six, I'm not 100% sure because this is where my notes dropped off, but I think episode six was maybe Seoul with the clappers, and then possibly also Vegas. Then episode eight was like wrapping things up, and then yet to come, and then also like seeing a couple of the members' houses. So anyway,
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the timing of, like, when they filmed this. I'm like, okay, I'm assuming they didn't film anything post Yet to Come. Because I was, like, listening to the soundtrack as well, and I'm like, I don't think any of JK's music was included in here. Like, his latter, like, his actual album. Yeah. Or whatever.
I assumed it was before any of their solo stuff. Although, did they show Jin in Coldplay?
I don't remember them showing that footage. I mean, they showed Jin's, like, music video a little bit. They did play, like, V's tracks, like, as background music. They played some of Namjoon, I believe, Hobie's as well as background music.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think they showed JK, so I'm like, it must have not even been, like... Well, it wasn't Creed yet, because didn't he create it in, like, a week?
While we were on here, like, bro had a month to pull together an album, and he did it.
Exactly. So. I'm like, so whenever they stopped, like, producing this, it was before JK had his workout.
Yeah.
Or was in existence. I think they were showing a lot of content of them. I shouldn't say a lot. They showed some content of them, like, going through the pandemic. I feel like they kind of rushed through it, but I was also like, there probably wasn't much to show. And we saw, we did see a lot of it, right? They posted a lot of it on V Live at the time. Like, we were there. Like, we saw this on YouTube and stuff. But I'm also like, what is there to show when you're just, like, stuck at home? I'm like, were they showing Jim in quarantining at one point?
Yeah, they did.
This is also when it, like, made sense to me that when he was having, I don't remember which episode this was, he was having that conversation with JK when he came over to, like, visit his house, and he, like, got an argument with his friend, and his friend was like, I think you're severely depressed.
Jim was like, what? Me? Never.
Exactly. And then he's like, I was like, exactly. Maybe. I was like, damn, this is so real. Like, I get him. I had the same exact experience. Yeah, I always had thoughts of, like, what's Jimin doing? And he'd be like, literally, I'm doing nothing. I'm just, like, laying on the couch and, like, not thinking about how, like, those were, like, signs of depression. And I was like, yeah, same. yeah, anyway, I'm, like, wishing therapy for everyone.
Yeah.
We all need it.
Take care of your mental health. If your friends are like, I think you're not doing well, maybe listen to them because they know you.
Yeah, exactly. That conversation he was having with JK was funny, though, that JK was, like, trying to tell him the way Jimin was living, like, wasn't healthy. JK was like, let me not do that because I sound like Yoongi right now. I was like, why is Yoongi catching?
They were also, like, pretty sure they were day drinking. Or was that JK and Hobi? There was one clip where, like, two members were eating together and I was like, you all are drunk at 10 in the morning. I mean, I don't know what time it was, but...
I think that was JK and Hobi.
Yeah.
I think Jimin and JK's was at night.
Okay.
But, yeah, JK was like, I don't want to sound like Yoongi right now. Jimin said something to the effect of, like, yeah, because he's just living such a grand life, isn't he? And then it, like, cuts to Yoongi, and he's doing the exact same thing that they're doing, like, eating chicken.
I will say the editors are always hilarious, like, splicing things together in that manner.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it also shows, like, cuts to the Virgo of the group, like, dusting very meticulously, like,
Namjoon was dusting his own. But I saw someone comment that, like, when they were all living together, wasn't Namjoon, like, the messy one of the group? And they were,
he
like,
was. I That's need you to clean, funny.
So it's, like, extra ironic that, like, bro cannot be bothered to clean their group house, but when it's his own, he's, like, sticky wiping, what's it called? Those, like, lint rollers. Sticky wipe. I'm struggling today. He's, like, lint rolling the ground. Like, is there no in between?
He's like, there's always dust. And he's, like, dusting the pictures. Oh, God.
Whose houses did we see in episode 8? I know I'm jumping ahead. We saw Namjoon's house. We saw parts of Jimin's house. We saw, like, V gave us, like, a walkthrough tour.
Yeah.
Were they the only ones?
There was someone else's house that I was assuming was Hobie's. That clip when JK was sitting there with Hobi, but it could have been another part of JK's house we haven't seen.
I think you're right.
But yeah, it was interesting seeing their homes. I'm like, there's, like, three versions of dude homes. There's, like, Jimin's where it's, like, nothing in it. There's, like, Tae and
the hype beast, like,
Tae and Namjoon's that's, like, artsy. Like, you can tell they've, like, put, like, some significant effort in it. They're like, I like interior design. And then there's, like, yeah, the other dude home that's just, like the super fan home. Yeah. Probably JK fits in this as well, where it's, like, decked out and, like, I don't know, marble from head to toe, or, like, anime, or, like, Supreme. Like.
But even Taze was giving me hints of, like, super fanboy. Like, he was like, yeah, I hired an interior designer, but I, like, gave them the drawings, and I was like, I could see that.
Like, kind of, but I still feel like his was a lot more artsy than just, like, I'm gonna go to the store and just, like, deck this out in, like, Nike. Like, there was, like, intentional, effort put behind it.
There's this, like, Reddit for him called, like, Male Living Space or something, and there was this guy that was just recently, like, roasted the crap out of for having, like, a grass wall with, like, all his sneakers in front of it and, like, neon lights everywhere, and then, like, all his Supreme stuff, and, like, yeah, that's a definite, like, guy aesthetic. I won't elaborate further, but yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm sure someone walks into my house and is like, there are books and plants literally everywhere, so I can't even, like, cast aspersions. I don't have an interior designer, so
I mean, there's definitely, like, girl aesthetics. There's probably, like, three versions of girl homes as well. Like,
mine is, like, millennial plant mom meets, like, I don't know, librarian chic or something. Anyway. Yeah.
I had other comments.
House related, COVID related, solo album related.
Oh, I was happy to see, like, Jin's friends.
Yes.
This is coming from the guy who, like, in one interview was like, I don't have any friends.
Yeah, how are those friends feeling? I was thinking about this watching exactly. it. I was like, how are those friends feeling watching that interview? Like, do I mean nothing to you?
Well, I'm like, was he just not as connected with them, you know, while he was actively doing his idol thing, as opposed to, you know, maybe later on during the pandemic or, you know, just recently, like, you're able to reconnect with him. Because did he say, like, he meets with them, like, 6 times a week? They were, like, over at his yeah. house, like, playing games while he was, like, working. Like,
yeah. And he comes in and they're just there, like...
Exactly. So I'm like, did he go as an introvert?
How would you feel about that? He was very chill, and I'm like, are you not an introvert? Like, I don't want to come home and just be like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Sorry. Anyway, continue. But yeah.
No, I was just saying, like, did he have like kind of an abrupt like, I lost touch with my like old friends, and then like reconnected.
Unless he used to be, like, popular frat guy Jin and had way more friends, and these friends are, like, the real ones who've stuck around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It also made me happy, like, kind of, I think we talked about something similar when Tae was doing his promotions and he met up with an army who was, like, normal looking. Like, Jin's friends were cute and, like, their vibes were fun, but they were just, like, very normal looking people. And there's something, like, I don't know, like, wholesome or, like, comforting to me just, like, seeing Bangtan with, like, normal people. Because so often you only see celebrities, like, hang out with other celebrities. I can't really, like, verbalize it well, but I was, like, A plus, Jin. Like, keep those no, friends I know from what before. Yeah.
I know what you mean. I had a similar thought. That's probably why they were like hounding him on the street to be an idol because Jin is so good looking.
Right, like you only see them in context to like the other members usually versus yeah. like in context to like normal people. Yeah.
I know you and some other friends we have were like discussing their commentary on like whether or not they were going to come back as a group, or I guess like whatever odd comments they were making towards the end of like maybe we'll see you,
right?
Catch you on the flip side, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, I didn't really get the sense that they were saying anything that they haven't been saying for at least the last like year and a half of like, we want to be with ARMY as like much as possible, but we just don't know what the future is going to look like. And I'm just thinking they're just not trying to make any definitive plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we just, what's the point, especially after COVID? Like I can't promise anything.
Yeah. I kept wavering between like, what are they saying right now? Like, the Jennifer Lawrence meme. Like, what do you mean? Like, but also, like, are they just realizing that, like, and maybe not just realizing, but are they acknowledging that there's so much uncertainty in life and they don't want to say for sure, right? Is it that, like, 18 plus months of military life could, like, change your perspective? Is it, like, your physical condition when you come back? Like, yeah, I don't know. I will be honest, like, I was feeling profoundly uncomfortable at some of the comments. Like, just being like, you can love your family, but, like, not spend every moment with your family. Like, I forget who said that, but that was something they said. And then JK said something to the effect of, like, I'm excited to do my own thing, but, like, I'll always come back if BTS calls me, or, like, Jimin was really, like, I'm gonna perform together till we're old. But, I mean, yeah, it could just be their personal feelings kind of run the gamut about, like, where they'll be when they come back, or it could just be, like, everything about the last 4 years has been completely chaotic, and I don't want to make a promise to you that I can't keep, so...
Because even Bong PD's comments weren't, like, definitive, like, yeah, they're gonna come back. He pretty much was just like, my hope is that, like, they'll continue to be artists. But it wasn't necessarily, yeah, they'll continue to be artists with me. It's like, I hope we'll keep doing music. not necessarily together. Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess that's part of it, too, is, like, these comments didn't sound that certain, and so far they've been, like, their comments at concerts or in V-Lives about, like, 2025 and, like, our comment, like, we're clinging to this, like, 2025 comeback time, and so it's been, like, maybe I've been taking it for granted or, like, clinging to that, but, like, watching it, I didn't feel certain that for sure there's a comeback in 2025, and then I see people on the internet constantly being, like, I'm already strategizing and saving for 2025, like, how can I optimize my chances of getting tickets, and I'm, like, I mean, like, good, it takes planning, like, good job, but at the same time, like, let's make sure there's really a concert first before we just, like, jump the gun here.
But they've re-signed, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how, I can't recall.
Wasn't it through, like, 2025 or 2026?
I thought it was, like, yeah, like, 2027 or something like that. I thought it was for a while, so, I mean, I guess they would come back in some capacity, right? I don't know what the nature of the contracts were, though.
Yeah.
Again, like, did they all sign? Did they sign as BTS? Or was it, like, individual contracts where, like, they could... I don't know how that works out.
Yeah.
I do think they'll come back, though. They did sound hopeful. I think Namjoon made some comment about, like, wanting to, like, show what it's like to come back post, like, military, like, I don't know, and do cool things as idols after that period, like, things that people haven't done before, like, be definitive in this period of their life. So it would be cool to see what they do with that, if they, I don't know, change the game for groups that have been active longer than, like, that 7-year curse that people always talk about. Or, like, you know, after military.
Yeah, and I mean, they raise a good point. Like, I feel like the model is really focused on, like, who's the, like, rookie group of the moment, or who's, like, the trendy new group, and, like, a lot of groups don't make it as long as they have. So how are you, like, an idol performer in your 30s? Like, what does that look like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's impossible, but there's less of a blueprint, let's say. Not that they've ever really followed the blueprint, but...
They've been gone... Jin's at least been gone for a year. And the other members have not been gone as long. But... No other group has, like, hit, like, BTS has. I feel like we can definitively say that. I mean, we've seen other groups have success. But no other group has, like, done things that BTS has done since they've left. Not in the same way. Like, okay, you broke a record that BTS had before they departed. Yeah, you did that because BTS is not here. Woo! Like, I don't know, like... I mean, good for you, I guess. I don't know. I'm really curious to see what it'll be like in 2025, right? I hope we go even higher. But that's my selfish wants. I want the best for BTS, whatever they feel is best for them.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the last few years have just been, like, a time of upheaval, personally and globally, right? So, like, it's just been a lot over the last few years, but, like, and we've talked about this before, like, the one constant has been, like, Bangtan, so I really hope that's something I can continue to rely on, but, like, the time is going really fast. I think there's a lot I need to do. I know everyone has, like, their own goals for while the guys are away, but, like, I think Jin's back in, like, 140-something days at time of recording, and, like, Hobi's over the halfway mark. I just think it'll go really fast. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being naively optimistic at the moment, but, like, we made it through the whole pandemic. We, like, made it through the first year post the dinner, right? Like, we've had all these solo albums, and I feel like there have been some changes, like, in terms of the fandom, but not, like, tons of changes, right? So I feel like we'll all still be here. Like, I haven't left yet. I'm not leaving now. Like, they're stuck with us, unfortunately, for them. Or fortunately, but...
No, I think you're right. I think it will go by quickly. I mean, like, in retrospect, 2023 went by pretty fast. I think we've entered the age where, like, the years just kind of, like, fly by. Especially if you're keeping yourself busy, like... Yeah, things are moving. I think we'll be at 2025 before we know it. And, like, Yoongi's back and we're all like, yay! Right? And I don't know if we'll get, you know, a concert in 2025 or what we'll get in 2025, but I think it'll be here pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I did want to make a comment on, I was really happy to hear then, or maybe it was just Namjoon, like, making a comment on he wants his 30s to be, like, a time to, like, was it, like, to find himself or to, like, experience, like, some kind of growth? And that made me happy because I feel like, as at least in a Western society, we make it seem like your 20s is your time to, like, have everything figured out. And if you don't have it together by, like, 30, like, you're a major, like, I don't want to curse, but, like, you... it's embarrassing if you don't have everything figured out by 30. But yeah, it's like, why does it have to stop, right? Why can't your 30s also be a time for, like, growth and exploration? We should be, like, continuously trying to, like, grow and evolve. And it was really comforting to, like, hear him say that. And I know he's saying that because he spent most of his 20s, like, being in BTS and didn't necessarily have as much time for himself. But I like to think of it the same way for me as well. Like, life's not over when I hit 30, obviously.
Well, like, speaking from beyond the grave at age 32, exactly. Turning 33 this year, if you can believe it. Yeah, life doesn't end. I chuckled at that part, but for a different reason. When he said something to the effect of, like, I hope I can define myself in my 30s, I was like, good luck, because I'm going to be trying to define myself in my 40s, 50s, 60s. So, like, same thing, but from a different, yeah. From an older and wiser perspective. I'm totally joking there, but yeah, it's an interesting perspective. I don't think we ever fully stop growing, and if we do, that's kind of sad. So,
yeah. Another superficial comment, them showing up to the Yet to Come concert. I'm like, I'm just here was, like, pretty long then. And then suddenly he had that, like, Levi Attack on Titans cut when they were actually doing the show. So I'm like, we could have had longer Namjoon doing this concert. And we didn't. And it's unfortunate.
Not to be bitter. Yeah, I saw an Instagram reel today that was, like, the fit, the cinched waist, the height, the proportions, whatever. It was someone, like, simping over Namjoon. Great. But he had, like, long hair, and it was around when Yoongi had long hair. So I was like, this was a very short window of time. Like, where is this from? So, but yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Like, at that concert, like, JK's hair was long. Yoongi's hair was long. Obi had the tracks in. Like, we could have really had it all, but whatever. I mean, he did look good with that haircut. I do.
You wanted it, so you had your moment.
Slash, no, not the bald one.
Oh.
I mean, like, the real shorter, like...
Like, longer on top, shorter on the sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, not the bald one. Yeah.
He eased you into the bald, just like he eased us into enlistment, right? Like... I wasn't even speaking jarred of, by the time, because he had that buzz cut for so long.
Exactly. Speaking of haircuts, they showed Jin getting his haircut. Who was that just recently shared a photo of, like, Jimin? Was that Hobi? Was that Hobi sharing a photo of Jimin cutting his hair? Okay.
But Jin getting his head shaved was so emotional. I, like, could barely watch that part. I'm like, why is this in here? Like...
Yeah,
Hobi's there. Like, how are you feeling? And Jin says something like, I'm feeling how you think I'm feeling. You know, JK shows up. He looks serious.
I know. They were just, like, watching him, and it It just looked really sad the way they were watching him, like that's about to be me.
Right.
Yeah. But of course Jin has to be the funny guy who's like, you're up next. But yeah. I'm like, why is she cutting his head so slowly? She was like cutting a new style, like
even the stylist was like, no.
I'm like, just buzz that junk off. Like, why are you cutting into a new haircut each time? Maybe she was doing that to stall until the other members could get there.
She's like, yeah, I'm definitely cutting his hair. Like, they're like, okay, well, it's taking you 2 hours. Why? Yeah. Oh,
good God. Yeah.
I'm excited for Jin and Hobi to come back. I really am. I think that'll be a good boost, and that will carry me through the second half of 2024.
I think my brain tries to, like, shield itself and not thinking too much about them being away. But it's not until they, like, post. And, like, I don't know. Like, Jimin's recent updates of him doing well. He reached, like, the end of his, like, 6-week training period. I was like, Jimin. Yeah. I missed Jimin. Oh, God.
I gotta say, we're, like, really desperate for, like, any crumbs. We really are, because I saw that, like, all four, like, JK, Jimin, Tae, and Namjoon all finished their boot camp this week, and then, like, you know, stuff was flying around, debatable if it should or shouldn't, but, like, Jimin's dad was posting, like, a picture of him to his, like, cafe account. And then people were like, Army, why are you resharing this? And I was like, we're literally, like, I don't know. I've just been on the internet so much less, it's probably good for me, but I'm like, Jimin's dad literally posted this publicly. Like, are you really gonna jump into this right now?
So. True, I mean, if he shared it publicly. What's the issue? I forget what I was going to say.
Gotta love it. Starting 2024 off the same way.
At least we're almost done with the thing. I think I was going to say something about if Jimin's dad shared
yes
the photos, then that's fine. I was curious if JK's and Jimin's buddy program continues past this 6-week thing. Like, were they only training together for this 6-week period? Or do they get to go to the base together? Because Jimin was like, I'm going to the base now, but he wasn't like, we're going to the base now. So I was kind of confused about that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I guess we'll probably find out in short order. All I know is, like, that letter was so touching. The fact that he's, like, writing us handwritten letters from the military and then, like, posting it and then being like, I think of you all often. Like, I talk to the members on, like, the base payphone. I was like, why is Jimin the best? Like, why is he so wholesome? Again, see prior comments about Bang PD. Like, he can... whatever. I'll never let this rest. But... and then I was, like, straight up laughing at the part where he was like, JK is performing as you would expect, like, G.I. JK out here. I don't know. Like, it was just funny to me. He's like, funny and, like, wholesome. I don't know. It's like Hobi posting his pics or, like... I love when they give us, like, insight into their lives because they clearly don't have to right now. So
yeah. I was also, Or I'm still confused about whatever, like, Namjoon and Tae are doing. Like, are they... I don't think they're together, because when they take, like, their separate, like, little platoon photos, they're not training together.
Yeah.
But somehow they're still able to, like, show up in the same photos together. Like, are they training in the same area? Like, I don't know how that works.
I just assume they were at the same base and, like, could see each other sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, I've seen a lot of, like, wild, not a lot, luckily, I've seen some, like, wild shipper, like, theories about, like, why JK and Jimin are, like, together in the military. And, like, I've seen a lot of comments about, like, maybe I said this before, but they're like, JK, like, looking out for our ethereal prince, like, Jimin, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I mean, yes, sure. But also, like, Jimin knows kendo. Like, I feel like people just, like, have this one image of Jimin as, like, this guy that needs protection. And I'm, again, like, he's a grown man who knows martial arts. Like, I'm sure he can kick anyone's butt who tried to bother him, you know?
Exactly.
Assuming they're even being bothered, like, it might be fine. They might be loving it, right? Like, there's just so many assumptions being made.
Exactly. And, like, what is Jimin? Princess Peach? And, like, he needs saving? Like, what are y'all talking about? It's so weird.
So is JK Mario or, like, Bowser in this scenario? Like,
I don't know. I guess he'd be Mario, right? Coming to save Jimin. I don't know. It's just, like, what do y'all think of him? It's just weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Jimin in particular, people just, like, assume a lot about him. And I'm like... like screaming into the void, but it's fine.
This is a grown man. This is not your Omegaverse, I promise you.
Exactly. 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 Like, yeah. Like, fine. Have that. Read about it, whatever, but, like, please differentiate it from reality. Like, I beg you. I beg you.
Oh. Well, this episode is long enough. I'm looking forward to when BTS returns, in whatever capacity. And yeah, I hope they're happy and healthy and getting some good rest and looking forward to the future like we are.
Yes. 100%. 100%. This was a fun ep. I'm glad that we're back in the game.
We probably should have started with this, but we are moving forward in a every 2 week capacity. due to scheduling as well as the guys just being away. Like, presumably we won't have as much content, but knowing them, they might. But anyway. We're, like, officially outside once again, and it just suits our schedules better to do it this way, so you'll still hear from us, just not as much.
Just every other week, yeah. Well, like, Bangtan, we're trying to, like, explore and figure out, you know, what we're doing, hit our other goals, working out, reading, sleeping, whatever. We've talked about this before, so...
Exactly. Yeah. I took that to heart. I think they said that in a documentary recently, too. Was that Hobie saying that? I can't remember. One of them. But anyway, yeah, it's a time for growth for all of us, so we are doing just that, and we hope you are, too.
So, but of course, you can still find us on Instagram and less so Twitter, but we'll still be around. You can still reach out. We'll still be posting, so all good.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode of Girls with Fun. We will see you next time.
Bye.